Hello and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner powered by ComOne. I'm your host, Matt Shear. This week we will visit with former Humboldt Wildcats baseball coach Stu Fritz. Fritz recently learned he will be inducted into the 2027 American Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame after a Hall of Fame career that included 31 seasons as the head baseball coach at Hope College in Holland, Michigan. Before that success, Fritz spent 4 years in Humboldt as a teacher, head baseball coach, and assistant football coach, leading the Wildcats to the 1990 state semifinals in baseball. I had the opportunity to catch up with Fritz to look back on his time in Humboldt, his coaching career, and what this latest honor means to him.
Honored and humbled, to be honest. It's a nomination that comes from your peers, which probably meant more to me. But then when you shake that out a little bit, you just realize that it's having incredible kids to coach and being able to do it at an awesome place like Hope College, along with my wife, Carol, who was super involved. Just, you know, meant the world to me.
And then, Coach, you've been involved with the ABCA for many years, even served as its president. What did it mean for your peers to recognize you with that honor?
You know, for lack of a better term, it's not validation, but it just means that, I guess it gives meaning to your career maybe off of the field. And what those guys were to me is they were just huge mentors in my life, both from a baseball standpoint and really from just a life standpoint. So it truly were guys that I looked to as mentors when I started my career. So to have that come full circle and be nominated by Ed Flaherty, the University of Southern Maine retired head coach, whose son Ryan is the bench coach for the Cubs. It meant everything to me.
Now, your coaching journey included 4 years here in Humboldt, right out of college from Wartburg. What do you remember most about your time in the community, getting to work with those in the Humboldt Community School District?
Yeah, 100% the people and the relationships. I had just turned 22 years old when I started there, scared to death. We had a very good ball club that year. That would have been the summer of 1988. And I think of what I would say are the pillars of Humboldt athletics. It starts with Gary Newell, who was the athletic director at the time, and Dan McClanahan, who was the head football coach, John Wickett, Ron Wasaba, John Westfall, just amazing people that embraced me when they didn't have to embrace me. And then some great people that ended up being colleagues of mine from a teaching standpoint. Larry Dorhout was one of my principals. Kay Cole Morgan was another one. And they took a chance on a young guy when they didn't have to. And then it just became about the people and the relationships and just the pride in the community.
You led the Wildcats to the state semifinals in 1990 in baseball. Looking back, what made that team special and all your teams in your 4 years coaching at Humboldt?
You know, you look back athletically at that time period for Humboldt, and I know they carry on a really strong tradition, but we just had some really good players and also had some really good leadership. Doug Van Pelt was a part of that ball club who was Humboldt's softball coach for a long, long time. Doug's one of the best players I coached. Stevie Marceau, who came on to play for me at Hope. Chad Ruby was another one. Chris Curran was honestly, to this day, one of the best hitters I've ever coached. We just had, and I'm leaving some names out and I apologize, but we just had some really talented young men, Jason Felker, Mike Albright, Paulie Childress on the mound, who kind of helped put us on the map. And Humboldt had been good, so I didn't go into a situation where the cupboard was bare. There was a lot of tradition there, and to be honest, I just didn't want to mess it up.
Coach, what do you remember from the Humboldt community, what it was like when you first got here, fresh out of college at Wartburg?
I think just the way they embraced me. You know, I think back to those 7:30 games up at the baseball field and the guys that stood on the third base fence. Dave Fleming was the high school principal at the time. Duke Edge, I'll never forget him. Just guys that embraced me, embraced the program, and the rest of the coaching staff that just wanted the young guy to succeed.
Coach, how did those years coaching high school baseball here in Iowa, more specifically in Humboldt, help prepare you for what became a remarkable career at Hope College?
I think probably what it did is it taught me how to treat people. I learned that specifically in Humboldt with my teaching colleagues. Sherry Bornhoff was one of my teaching colleagues that helped show me the way. But I just learned how to treat people. And I think that carried over to the rest of my career. You know, there's some tough love there. Dave Beatty was our athletic director for a while in Humboldt. And I experienced some tough love. And it taught me, I think, how to do it, you know, myself, and to never put any of your own things in front of the kids or the game.
At Hope College, you had 31 seasons, 674 wins, and 10 conference championships. When you reflect on your career at the college level, what are you most proud of?
This is a broken record, but I'm most proud of the relationships that we formed with the kids that I had. And, you know, then they became former players. I'm also super proud, you know, in 31 years at Hope College, we had three kids that didn't graduate. So we emphasized academics. We emphasized the baseball program. But more than any of that, we emphasized being a great person. And I think our culture helped to foster that.
Now, you've coached generations of players. How have today's student athletes changed to compared to when you first started coaching all the way back 1988 back in Humboldt?
Crazy enough, I'm not sure the kids have changed at all. I think everything has changed around them. I think parents have changed, you know, travel ball, expectations, all of those things. So one of the biggest challenges I had when kids came into our program was to try to put Humboldt, Iowa back into them and teach them how to be a great teammate. And so I really don't think the kids have changed that much. Maybe they came in with higher expectations of how they were going to be treated and so on and so forth. But those were the things that we tried to take out of them. Probably isn't the right word, but essentially that's what it was. We wanted them to be a part of our program. We wanted them to add value in whatever way they could. And we wanted them to embrace that.
You also spent some years teaching physical education. Did being an educator make you a better coach?
100%. And we could go down that rabbit hole with my days teaching at Taft Elementary and Meese Elementary and the people that helped shape me there. But yeah, I think coaches are educators, and I got a great start being able to teach K through six physical education and coach middle school basketball and be on Dan McClanahan's staff. So 100%. That carries over into the coaching world and just makes you better.
As a coach, is there one game or moment, whether it's here in Humboldt or in your 31 years at Hope College, that comes to mind when someone does ask about your career?
Yeah, I'd say there's two. And the fact that they stick out this much must mean that they are important. We won the sub-state final at Charles City, Iowa against Olwine. We'll never forget that in 1990. Chad Ruby was pitching. We beat him 5-2. And the guy that was the head coach at Olwine had coached against me when I played at Postville. And that was just kind of the next step for our program at the time. So that sticks out for sure as one. And then the other one at Hope is 2001 in the regional at Illinois West. We played Wartburg, who was my alma mater. They were rated number one in the country, and we came into the regional as an 8 seed, and we beat them 2-1 in the opener. And I think that's kind of when our program, from a national standpoint, probably was put on the map. So those would be the two games.
Also in your coaching career, you had opportunities to coach internationally, whether it was Puerto Rico, Australia, Czech Republic. How unique were those experiences to your coaching career?
Yeah, incredible opportunities. And I'm part of the International Sports Group board now. So my wife, Carol, and I, we lead 2 international trips a year. So even the ones that have been published, we've been to Switzerland and Austria and Poland and Sweden. What you realize probably more, take the baseball out of it, you realize that there's just wonderful people everywhere. And when they actually come to learn from you, if you listen instead of speak, which is a challenge for me, you can learn a lot from them too.
You've retired from coaching, but remain involved at Hope College. How has retirement from being in the dugout treated you?
It's been an absolute joy, to be honest. I was ready to be done coaching, but I love this place and I love our people at Hope College. And probably more than anything, I love my 2 little granddaughters that, you know, I get to, instead of recruiting other people's children, I get to spend time with them. So I'm in our philanthropy department here. So I do some fundraising for the school in general. And it's been a true blessing for me to be able to stay involved and stay around our people.
Now that you've kind of been able to also be removed from the game a little bit, baseball has changed tremendously over the last 3 decades, continues to change here through the 2020s. What changes have been the biggest and what parts of the game have stayed the same, I guess, in your eyes throughout the last 3 decades?
I think between the lines where it's changed is just bigger, faster, stronger. You know, you alluded to that you played, you know, a few years ago. You know, there was a time when the velocity with pitchers wasn't nearly what it is today. I'm not always sure that's a good thing. But as a general rule, the way the game's played between the white lines hasn't changed that much. What's changed the most has been jumping from one school to another, trying to find greener grass on the other side, NIL stuff. So roster management, those are things that have changed. And I wouldn't necessarily say for the better. It's taken some of the loyalty out, I would say, some of the commitment out, where it's just chasing whatever the next best thing is. And oftentimes, and I'll say this, we live our life forward, but we understand it backwards. So oftentimes you realize that the next best thing is right in your lap.
That is true. That is true. Wanted to ask you this more for, we have younger coaches that might be listening in here. What advice would you give them as they begin their careers as someone who started right here in Humboldt?
Don't wish for what's next. I look back on my career in Humboldt, and honestly, I say this with a heart full of joy. I could not have handpicked a better place to start. And you don't necessarily realize that until you're somewhere else, but the joy that, you know, the people in Humboldt and the school district brought me are evident, and they helped shape who I was. So it's about being where your feet are and not looking for the next best thing, but doing the very best that you can in the situation that you're in.
If you had to say who had the biggest influences on your coaching career, especially here in Humboldt, who would you say that was?
Yeah, you know, I'd say my dad and my brother early on, but in Humboldt, Iowa, Dan McClanahan was like a second dad to me. And his family and his children were like adopted children of ours. And you look at this and you're talking about 40 years, and Andy McClanahan and Megan McClanahan are still a part of our life. And Barb, who, you know, lives in Des Moines. So Dan McClanahan showed me how to do it with love, how to do it with grace, how to do it with empathy, because he was one of the biggest teddy bears that I've ever met in my life. And he was a big man with a big personality. So I would say it would be him.
And Coach, finally, for everyone here in Humboldt who remembers you as Coach Fritz, maybe Mr. Fritz in the school building, what message would you like to leave them after receiving this incredible Hall of Fame honor, honoring your coaching career?
I just think a huge heartfelt thank you. You know, thank you for giving me an opportunity in a wonderful place to begin my career. Thanks for teaching me how to do it the right way. And those were oftentimes teachable moments that I didn't even know existed. But I think of Leo McElrath and John Wickett and Dan McClanahan and what their families have meant to me and, you know, our coaching career. And when I say our, I mean that, because my wife Carol is involved here at Hope, and it became a way of life for us instead of an occupation. And I think those core values I learned, you know, by watching those guys do it the right way. And the beauty of that, and I'm getting a little long-winded, but the beauty of that is if you did it the wrong way, Leo McElrath and Dan McClanahan and John Wickett weren't afraid to politely correct you and say, this is how we do it here.
Well, Coach, it has been a pleasure to have you on our Coach's Corner, and wish you all the best of success in the future. Congratulations again on the Hall of Fame induction.
I thank you. Really, I'm grateful for this opportunity to at least be able to verbalize some of my feelings for Humboldt, Iowa, because, like I said earlier, just a fantastic place. So thank you for having me on.
With that, we will conclude this week's edition of Coach's Corner, powered by Com1. I'm your host, Matt Shear. Tune in next week for another edition.